Okay, fun seekers, are you ready to start gambling? Oh, I'm sorry. Speculating with options? Options contracts, yes? Well, we've got something even better. Something that can lose you money even faster. Futures contracts. But unlike options, these instruments actually do have a very important usage for our modern economy. But not for you and me, okay? We'll see. And Mr. Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, said it best. There are two times in a man's life when he should not speculate. When he can't afford it, and when he can. And Mr. Samuel Clemens learned the hard way. He took almost his entire fortune, which was substantial, from his speaking engagements and his books, and pissed it all away on incredibly stupid inventions that were nothing, turned out nothing. So he learned the hard way. He also said, October, this is one of the worst times to speculate. The other months are March, January, September, December, August, June, May, July, October. February, and I forget which one I've said. April. Yeah, he had to learn the hard way, which I hope you do not have to do. Slide number two. What are futures contracts? Futures is what we normally just call them. A commitment to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. Those items are usually referred to as commodities. So you might have heard of saying some, you might have heard someone say, oh yeah, I bought some commodities futures. A buyer and a seller, again, it's a contract, specify a commodity or financial instrument to be delivered and paid when the contract matures. The futures price is guaranteed by the contract. Now, futures started with commodities, sometimes called hard assets or real assets, although typically when we use the word real, we're talking about real estate. For example, wheat, soybeans, cattle, pork bellies, gold, oil, copper, and the like. Hard items, commodities. And if you've seen that movie from the 1980s, Trading Places, they were discussing pork bellies throughout the movie. But since they've moved to financial assets, treating financial assets like hard commodities. So what is the purpose of futures contracts? Well, producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively. So here's an example. A wheat farmer in Iowa plants 1,000 acres of wheat in April. He knows that if all goes well, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, come September he'll have 500,000 bushels of wheat. Now, I don't know if that's a realistic number. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. But September wheat futures are currently in April selling for $6 per bushel. So he can go online, or maybe he has a broker, and he can see, hey, I can sell this wheat that I just planted in the ground for $6 in September. So he can sell his wheat via the wheat futures contract while it's still in the ground. He can guarantee a price that he is happy with and will result in a profit. The contract states he will deliver the wheat in September and receive $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. You see? Yeah, that's how they work. It's a contract. Somebody on the other end has guaranteed they will pay him $6. The consumers of the commodities also use them. Your Kellogg's, your General Mills, your Post, cereal. You need tons and tons of wheat each year to make cereal and other foodstuffs. So via the futures contracts in April, they can purchase the wheat to be delivered in September and pay $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of using futures contracts when you're the producer and when you're the consumer? Well, again, we can think of it like insurance. We are insuring, if we're the producer, that we're going to get a price that we're happy with. And we're ensuring, if we're the consumer, that we're going to get a price that we're happy with. Now, what happens if prices fall precipitously? Well, the farmer is protected, and the consumer, oh well, they have to pay the $6. Likewise, if the prices skyrocket, well, the farmer, he made a contract to sell his stuff for $6, and now the consumers are in short. See how that works? It's a very important instrument in our economy. Futures contracts allow producers and consumers to hedge. Remember, you might have heard of hedging your bet, or we discussed hedging in options. Hedging is taking a futures position opposite to an existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. So you've heard the saying, I hope you've heard the saying, hedge your bets. The farmer is protecting himself from wheat prices falling. The cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. They are taking a position opposite to their current position. The farmer needs to sell it, so he's already sold it. So that's a position opposite. The consumers need to buy it. They've already bought it. Well, they've bought it via the futures contract. So here are some major classes of commodities. Electricity is treated like a commodity. Heating oil, crude oil. When you hear that oil is selling for whatever it is, $60 a barrel or something, that's not today. That's typically 3 months from today. And then it takes several months for the oil to be refined and turned into gasoline and other petroleum products, and then distributed to wherever it needs to go. So you see or hear about oil prices falling, and you think, well, how come gas is still so expensive? Well, it takes 3 months for the darn stuff just to show up at the refinery. Well, actually, I'm not an expert on this, dear students, but I think what it does is it shows up at a certain point, and then it has to get to the refinery, and then it has to go get processed, and then it has to be distributed. So it takes, you know, many, many weeks, months for this to happen. But the same thing is true for coffee and corn and livestock and orange juice. That was in the movie Trading Places 2, Orange Juice. So here they are, the major classes of commodities. So what are financial futures? Well, the financial world adopted the technique of futures contract to financial assets, treating financial assets like commodities, currencies, interest rates, stock and bond indexes. I will deliver $25,000 worth of British pounds to you next April, or I will purchase $10,000 worth of the S&P 500 stock index from you next August. So they treat the financial assets like wheat or corn. For those working in the world of finance, and especially the world of international business, these financial futures can be very useful tools. For example, you're a car manufacturer, and you get your engines from a Japanese company, but you're based here in the United States. So you know that next October you need 50,000 engines. Well, you can buy the currency, the yen. You can buy a currency future for $20 million worth of Japanese yen payable in October. So this protects the manufacturer from adverse currency fluctuations. If the dollar falls relative to the yen, the manufacturer is protected. The engine company is saying, look, it's going to cost, you know, whatever the conversion is now, $20 million worth of engines. That's how much it's going to cost. But they're pricing it in yen because that's the way they do business. So if the dollar were to fall relative to the yen, then the car manufacturer would be protected. Now, what if the dollar strengthened? Oh, well, they bought insurance that it turns out they did not need. And that's the idea behind futures, whether they're hard commodities or financial assets. Can anyone purchase futures? Lucky you! You don't have to work in either the commodities world or the financial world to buy and sell futures contracts. You can be a speculator. You can simply buy and sell the futures contracts. You never actually deliver or take delivery of the commodity nor the financial asset. You could buy those 50,000 bushels to be delivered in September, even though you live in a condo in West Los Angeles and you've never even seen a farm. Well, what do you think of this strategy? What is the limit of your losses? Well, they can be substantial. The losses can be substantial because you don't need those bushels of corn. So you are going to have to sell that contract that you bought. You can't take delivery. Your condo can't handle 500,000 bushels. I remember last year when there was a bug something weird happened in the oil market, and you could buy oil for just outrageously low price, and people were asking me, can we do it? I said, well, where are you going to put it, right? And if things don't right themselves, you'll be in a big trouble. And so that's in the past. Speculating with futures. Speculating is accepting the futures price risk without having a position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. It's the opposite of hedging. And this is what the book says. I love it. You know, just it's so ridiculous. Futures speculation is risky, but it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodity price movements. What? Can anyone accurately forecast the future? We know this to be true, that nobody can. There are people who say they can, and every once in a while they get it right. If our Los Angeles speculator sitting in her condo had purchased a futures contract for 500,000 bushels of wheat to be delivered in September, and wheat prices plummeted, she could potentially lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this is the problem with commodities. They are incredibly volatile. You're a farmer. I don't want to be a farmer, folks. You're a farmer, and everything's going great. You know, the crops are growing. The rain comes just at the right time. Then the sun and the bugs are not so bad, and you have a bumper crop. What happens to the price? It plummets. Why? Because everybody else has a bumper crop. There's a bad year, and oh my goodness, the crops are failing, there's a flood or a drought or whatever. Oh my goodness, you don't have anything to sell. What happens to the price? It skyrockets. Lucky you, you don't have anything to sell. So it's a very, very difficult world, the world of commodities and futures. Commodities and financial futures. And it's best left to the professionals who need this insurance. They need those 500,000 bushels of wheat. And people say, well, what happens when that happens? Well, that's why the government gets involved. That's why there's the Farm Bureau you don't feed your population. They get very upset. So, trading futures, where is it done? Well, the Chicago Board of Trade is the largest, most active futures exchange, but now they're traded on all exchanges. The long position is the buyer of the futures contract. They're protected from the increasing in the prices. That's the Kellogg's, the Post cereal. And the seller is the farmer. He's protected from future price decreases. Futures seem like options. Well, yes, the two are very similar. They are derivatives, but they're very different in that futures have an actual usage. In my humble opinion, other people might tell you differently. There's the potential for great rewards, but there's also much more of a likelihood of sustaining great losses. In fact, the potential losses from futures contracts are staggering. And just like options, there's a tremendous source of commissions for your broker. By the way, your broker is going to keep tabs on you. Oh my goodness, when you signed up for that futures brokerage account, you clicked here, and what you did was you signed up for the provision that if you start to lose money, they can kick you out if you get to a certain point. And we'll discuss margin calls in our next chapter. They can close out the position without your knowledge or permission. If things start going really bad for you, they'll usually try to contact you and say, what do you want to do? But if it's looking really, really bad, they'll just kick you out of the position and you've taken a huge loss. But they don't want you to lose a whole lot more, because what happens if you then send them a postcard from Aruba or Puerto Rico or whatever, and you're gone? They're on the hook, right? The broker's taking a big risk by letting you lose a lot of money, so they won't let you lose a lot of money. And we'll discuss this in more detail in our next chapter. By the way, you can purchase options contracts on futures contracts. Well, what do you think of that? Final comments on futures. Stay away from them. Yeah. Again, instruction about syphilis is not an instruction to get syphilis. They are even more potentially dangerous than options. Especially if you're buying options, the worst you can do is lose your $500 or $300 or whatever. Whereas if you buy a futures contract, you could lose tens of thousands of dollars quickly. Quickly. And so, we have finished with our derivatives, our options contracts and futures contracts. And we're now ready to focus our attention on brokerage accounts and then buying on margin and selling short. Now, we've made mention of these two. Now we're going to look at the nuts and bolts of them. But again, be calm, calm. There's no calculations. And all the questions about options, futures, buying on margin, selling short will all be given to you before the final exam. How's that for a deal, huh? Dear students, always, we are so proud of you, and we're getting near the end, folks. We're on the downhill side of the semester. See you in our next chapter on brokerage accounts, buying on margin, and selling short.